he's been really been intentional about that, and I've learned so much from him, and I've grown so much from him as well, because he loves people, he thrives around people, and I'm the total opposite. So I've learned to kind of find the middle ground where I can be that for him on times and I can go back to my safe place.
A little bit of key advice from our Focus on the Family guest, urging married couples to learn more about one another daily and not to become comfortable with the status quo. We'll be talking about the beauty of marriage done God's way, and you'll hear how God brings much blessing to those who choose to marry. Welcome. This is Focus on the Family with your host, Graham Schnell.
You know, Alison, we often talk about the fact that God has given us the principles to do marriage and family well. And when we apply those principles that He has ultimately laid out in His Word, marriage works, family works. And it's simple, but it's not easy, and we all get it wrong. And there are all kinds of obstacles and barriers that I think, honestly, the enemy wants to use to trip us up and derail us in our marriage and parenting.
Yeah.
And part of what we're about here at Focus is to be that reminder, to point people back to the author and creator of family. None of us have it all worked out, but we can point to the one who does and who's able to redeem us even when there's been brokenness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And with us in studio today is our very own Doreen Mkhize. Doreen works in the broadcast area here at Focus on the Family. She's responsible for the administration and liaising with all of the radio stations that air the Focus on the Family radio programs. And more recently, Doreen's also been active on this side of the microphone, speaking into marriage and relationships from a Focus on the Family perspective on a weekly radio show at a local station. Doreen, it's so good to have you on the team at Focus, and thanks for being with us on the broadcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Doreen, you joined us as a volunteer 4 years ago, and when you started back then, you were in somewhat of a broken place. Describe where you were at in life at that point.
Okay, so thank you, Graham. Thank you for the introduction. So yes, when I came to Focus as a volunteer, I was in a very difficult place. I was a single mom, and my son, Ndalo, was a year and a few months old, and the relationship between me and his dad had ended, and things went really, really great. And I was in a place where I was blaming myself a lot for being a single mom at the age of 21, raising my son alone. And I grew up a very confident and strong young girl, and I really never ever thought that was what my life would become, a statistic and be just like every other girl in my area. So I really was blaming myself, and I was in a very low place. And I would say I was hurting and I was broken, but I would say I didn't see it at the time. I thought I was doing really, really well because I was working part-time. I could afford everything for my son. He didn't lack anything financially. I was doing really good financially, and I was doing well. My son lacked nothing. But emotionally, I think I was struggling. So when I started coming to Focus and volunteering and having devos every morning from 8 to 8:30, and I think around that time, I can't remember exactly what it was that we were listening to and watching at the time, but it's stuff that was really, really kind of opening me up emotionally and making me deal with all my brokenness and see how much stuff I really hadn't dealt with. And most of the time after devotions, I'd actually leave devotions and go to the bathroom and just cry because I was just so broken, and there was just a lot that was going on emotionally and I didn't understand. And I think a few months later, I really, really felt God asking me to forgive my son's father. He really, really pushed me into a place where he said, you need to get to a place where you thoroughly forgive him and get to a place where you can be accountable for yourself, for your actions and the role that you played for getting yourself to a place where you are now raising your child alone. Because as much as I could blame my son's father for all of his actions and how wrong he was and how he did me wrong, I had a role that I played in allowing myself to be in that situation and allowing myself even to get pregnant. And, you know, it was partly my decision as well. So God really took me in a place and allowed me to hold myself accountable and to even apologize to myself for allowing myself to make such silly decisions at the time.
And forgive yourself.
And forgive myself, yes. So, yes, a few months later, I actually found myself calling my son's father and telling him, I forgive you. And I'm sorry if there's anything that I did to upset you and make you, you know, do you wrong. And I really said, I do apologize you and I release you emotionally. I don't hold any baggage. I don't hold any bad thoughts or any bad emotions towards you, and I really release you. And he was really, really shocked, and he really didn't say anything after that. But it wasn't really for him, it was for me.
Yeah.
So after I had said that, I just, kind of hung up, and I wasn't still in a great place, but it was kind of...
It was a release.
Yes, it was a release, and it was a step from then
to
a new journey, to a new page.
Yeah.
So, yes.
What do you think it was that drew you to focus on the family in the first place?
While I was still studying a few years ago, I can't remember, I think it was 2010, while Focus on the Family was on Focus on Itemba, I did do an internship for 2 weeks then at Focus, and I continued on studying after that. In my mind, I always thought whenever I needed an internship or needed volunteer work experience, I'd always come back because I had a great experience that 2 weeks that I spent the previous years. So our taxi, the taxi that I'd normally use, normally used to just go past Old Main Road. And I always used to think I'd always come here again if ever I needed work experience.
Doreen, earlier you said that you were upset with yourself and that you didn't want to be in this position, didn't want to be another statistic like so many of the girls in your neighborhood. What was your frame, your model for marriage and family? What was in your mind when you kind of thought about marriage and family for your future?
At the time, I would say I didn't have a really good image about marriage, about family, because as much as I grew up in a family that had a mom and a dad, my dad wasn't the greatest husband to my mom. He would spoil us, and he was an amazing father to us. He spoiled us. He cooked dinner for us because he was a chef. He cooked dinner every day. But with my mom, he wasn't necessarily the greatest husband. He would cheat. He had multiple affairs when we were growing up. So there was a lot that we saw. And I saw this hurting my mom a lot. She went through different stages of just hurting and dealing with my dad's infidelities through their marriage. She would cry. Sometimes she would beat up the woman. And at a later stage, she just was very disrespectful to my dad.
So she got angry.
Yes, she was very angry. And even to us, I mean, I grew up and not having a very close relationship with my mother because I think she was very, very angry and she was just dealing with a lot. So I didn't have a good image. I grew up really not wanting to get married. I never had the desire of getting married. I never had a good image. So I didn't want to get married. It wasn't something that was in my dreams or desires or hopes.
And what did your mom speak to you about marriage when she would actually talk about marriage as a future for you? How would that come across?
I don't think my mom actually spoke to us much about marriage, but it was my dad, funny enough, who actually didn't want us to get married. He was very much against the idea of us getting married. We had a very big yard at home. We had tenants. And he always said, when you grow up, the yard is big enough for you to build your own house in the yard so you can stay here. There's provision for you guys because there's the tenants bringing in money. So you never have to work that really hard. So you can stay here and you'll have money. They never kind of raised us up to have this great idea or desire to want to get married. My dad was very much against the idea of us getting married because I think he knew himself and he knew the husband that he was.
Do you think it was also perhaps because he didn't want to let go of his daughter? Could it
possibly
have been that?
Possibly, because he had three daughters. I mean, there was four of us at home, three daughters and my little brother.
Yes.
I think I had the close relationship with my dad from all my sisters. I was a daddy's girl. So yes, I would say he just wanted to make sure that we are safe, we're taken care of, and we're not being abused. So let's just rather stay at home where he can take care of us and where he can see us. So yeah.
So here you are, you've had this experience of marriage that hasn't been that positive. You've seen infidelity, you've seen anger, you've seen disillusionment. You've not wanted to be in a position of being a single mom. But here you are.
Yeah.
You're a single mom and with a probably pretty negative view of marriage.
Yeah.
And you're volunteering and focused on the family. How,
yes.
tell us a little bit more about your journey and what happened in that process.
Okay. When I arrived here, I wouldn't say straight after I arrived here, everything changed. I'd be lying. But I think being around the staff and being around the resources and working in the broadcast departments and just listening to a lot of broadcasts. I remember that I intentionally listened to a lot of broadcasts about single parenting and single moms, just trying to equip myself on being a great mom and just raising my son to really be the best that he can be. So the resources, and nobody condemned me, and everybody was just loving and caring, and everybody just wanted to come alongside of me and hug me and just be with me in my journey. So that really helped. But there was a lady that used to work here, the lady whose job I actually took, and her name was Priscilla. And she always used to say, you need to pray for a husband. Your son needs a godly man in his life, and he needs a man to just teach him how to be a great boy and a great man. So you need to pray for a husband. And I would really, really dismiss this, because at the time I was like, I'm doing a great job, I'm fine, my son doesn't need a man. And I thought, I have brothers, I have uncles, and they can be that male figure in my son's life. And she would always say, what if they get married and they leave? What are you going to do then? And I really dismissed that idea, but I think it probably grew on me. Because we would spend a lot of time talking with Mom Priscilla, and she would always say, just start praying for a husband. Sometimes just write a note, just write stuff down that you would hopefully want in a husband, or that your son would need in a man. And I just really started writing this notes down, and I had a journal, and I would write this stuff down, and I started really praying for a husband.
So was that a process rather than an event that changed your perception?
Yes.
It was kind of over time you started to pray for this husband, this perfect man.
It was a very, very long process. It was a long process. But yeah, it's really, now when I look back, God was really, really awesome. And you can really see how God is so patient with us. He doesn't lose hope in us. So yes, I started praying for a husband, and I still actually have that journal now and those notes of the husband that I was praying for and all the stuff that I actually at the time was praying for a husband more for my son than myself, because I felt that he needed a father more than I would need a husband. So at the time, I mostly was praying for a husband that would be an awesome dad to my son. That's what I felt I needed most. And if he had that and could do that, then I would have been happy.
Well, but tell us a little bit about that process of the mind shift, both from a your experience, from a cultural perspective, and then being surrounded by the content of Focus and just the staff and the messages that were coming across, how that shaped and is continuing to shape your marriage going forward.
Okay, so obviously come from the African community, and yeah, there's a lot of culture and a lot of stuff that is said about marriage and stuff that you have to do and the don't do's. And I'm grateful, as much as my dad wasn't a great dad, but he wasn't a cultural man, if I can say that. He was very modern. Yeah, he wasn't a very cultural man. We didn't grow up with a lot of ceremonies and a lot of cultural stuff. So I don't know much about the African culture, because it's stuff that wasn't done at home. And I think it really helped when my husband's boo came in the picture. There wasn't a lot of cultural stuff that was expected of him. My mom really just wanted us to get married and wanted us to be happy. Like, that was her mindset.
So she must have changed, hey? Because initially you said she wasn't so keen on you getting married.
So my dad passed away in 2009. And after my dad's passing, I can say I really saw a different side of my mom that I never knew.
Sure.
She was more kinder, more soft. And I would actually say I'm actually grateful that I got to see that side of my mom, because I grew up, she was very angry, as I said, you know, very hard. So after my dad passing away, she really, showed us a different side to her. And I think it helped when Swu came along. She was really able to be happy that there's this guy who wants to marry me and, you know, who loves my son.
Could she see in him the potential for a man who's going to treat you like you deserve to be treated, do you think?
I'd say yes, because, I mean, even when Swu wanted to come home and for us to get married, he had a meeting with my mom. Like, he asked to see my mom. So my mom said to my mom, I love your daughter and I want to marry her. So what is expected of me for me to be able to do that? So I think my mom respected him and my mom loved his honesty and just respect even for my family, because he wanted to respect my mom and my family and wanted to do things the way that they would want things to be done. So he really was humble, and I think he really respected my family, and he did everything my mom asked of him. And I think even before we got married, he started buying stuff for Rundalo. My mom really saw him trying, and my mom really saw him wanting to be a part of us. And actually, I mean, even if we didn't have electricity at home, Swu would come home with a flask with hot water for us to make tea. He would come home and some, cause he's a chef. My husband's also a chef. So he would make breakfast at his house and bring us breakfast cause we didn't have any electricity. So even before that conversation actually started, Swu really, really kind of softened my mom's heart. So yeah, it was a real process. And I think by the time Swu actually said, I want to marry your daughter, my mom had seen, you know, the kind of guy Swu was.
Okay. And what have been some of your challenges? It's only been 2 years of marriage, but obviously there was a time before that, dating time. Just some of the obstacles you've had to overcome in your relationship, and maybe where those principles that we spoke about at the beginning have helped you overcome those obstacles.
The fact that I did have a child when I met Swu, and my husband doesn't have a child, and culturally, I would say a lot of older African ladies in his family were like, you've taken such great care of yourself and you haven't had a child, but you're getting married to a girl who has a child. So there were those kind of people who said that kind of stuff, and he's, I would say he got a bit of resistance in his family. And the fact that we met each other and 9 months later he proposed and wanted to get us to get married, there was just a lot of people questioning, is she pregnant? Why are you guys getting married so quickly? You know, so there were a lot of those questions. And even in church, I would say people even in our church that we went to were really kind of asking, why are you guys doing stuff so quickly? Why not wait? Do you know her well enough and stuff? And that stuff really, really hurts. Cause in my mind, I would think that people would have been happy and would have been welcoming of the idea, you know, of us being young and wanting to do things right and wanting to get married, and not these 1,000 questions and questioning our motives, and you know, so that's that really hurt us in the beginning, and even friends. But I think after Swu came to my house and paid lobola and us getting engaged, people kind of warmed up to the idea, and it was amazing to see how people even warmed up to Undalo after we got engaged, because I took a while to introduce Ndalo into our relationship, as much as Swu was buying things and doing stuff for him. But I wasn't really sure that I wanted him to meet Ndalo and actually be a practical part of his life. I was really, really safe. Yeah, I was really safe with Ndalo. So I think Swu actually started seeing Ndalo being an active dad after he paid lobola and after we got engaged. Yeah. That's when I involved Ndalo, and the whole family now could see Ndalo and be a part of Ndalo's life. And it was really amazing to see the whole family loving Ndalo and wanting Ndalo to always be there. Like, everybody just loved Ndalo and wanted him to be there and wanted to see him. Every weekend they would ask for Ndalo. And for me, that was really, really amazing to see God giving my son the family, the second family that he never really had. So yeah, that was really, really awesome. And that was like a stamp to saying, this has God's hand on it, you know, and God is in this and God is for us.
In your marriage now, and since you're also speaking on a weekly basis and giving advice to other couples over the airwaves, what have been some of those real key principles that have been so important to you in your marriage over the last 2 years?
I think the most important thing is to know that God is for our marriage, yeah. that marriage is a gift from God, and we should seek God's design and God's understanding of marriage and not our own. And I think being here at Focus has helped me to see that it's not this fairy tale and happily ever after that we see in cartoons. Yes, it is a blessing, yeah. and it's an amazing gift from God, but you work hard for it every single day. And it's a blessing to work hard with someone who wants to work hard with me. Like, we're both putting in the efforts and we're both working hard for our marriage. Mm. We do go through stuff. It's not easy, but God is the center of our marriage. And it's a blessing really to know God. And I don't know how people don't know God go through marriage because when stuff happens, I mean, I say, God, there's nothing new to you. There's nothing that's happened in this earth that you don't know and that you haven't already overcome. Mm-hmm. So even when you go through stuff, I can really kneel down and say, God, we've already overcome this because we have you, you know. Mm-hmm. So we've already gone through that. We've already just overcome. We've already won this battle. Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing to have a husband who also prays. Mm-hmm. So I would say really prayer, mm-hmm. knowing God, and working hard and understanding that marriage, you work hard, you put in what you want to get out of your marriage. So marriage is not something that you can put on cruise control and just hope that everything will work out well. Yeah. But it's something that you really have to be intentional about and you have to work hard for every single day, spend time together. And it's been awesome to have a husband who really wants to learn more about me and who wants to study me. And I think that's really something that I would urge all other couples to do, to not get tired of learning each other, learning about each other, because when kids arrive in the picture, you change, you grow as one studies, as one gets a new job, or as you get new friends, they impact the kind of person you are and you grow. So you can't ever say you know your spouse and you know them entirely. So you must not get tired of learning about your spouse and just finding about what they like now, who they are now. So I've changed so much from the time I met Spoo to now 2 years married. And I'm glad that he is trying to find out who I am on an ongoing process, on a daily basis. And he's been really been intentional about that. And I've learned so much from him and I've grown so much from him as well, because he loves people. He thrives around people and I'm the total opposite. So I've learned to kind of find the middle ground where I can be that for him on times and I can go back to my safe place.
Doreen, as we come to a close, yeah, I want you to speak to that young Doreen, that maybe young woman that's possibly grown up in an environment where she's being presented a view of marriage that isn't healthy, that isn't something she would aspire to, that's probably just not even on her radar.
Yeah.
What would you say is one thing that you would just encourage her in the value of marriage? You've spoken about it being hard work, and we know that it is that. But what would you say to that young woman to say, this is something good and something you should aspire to?
I would say to a young girl like myself that marriage is a gift. It is a gift from God. The amount of growth and the way you will love yourself when you are married and the way you will understand your purpose as a woman in Christ is so different than when you're single. I think it's God's purpose and God's design for every woman to be a missus one day. You love yourself so much more differently and you understand who you are so much more differently. And I would say strive to live your own life and define your own life, and do not allow your parents and your community's mistakes to define your life and to define what is true for your life and to actually mold your future. Don't allow your society, your community to dictate what kind of life and what kind of future you will have. Really stick close to God and ask God what he has in store for you and what's the purpose he has for you. And don't allow your parents' mistakes or other people's mistakes to define you and your future. So just really stick close to God and ask God, what do you have in store for me and what do you want for me and what would you have me do? And don't allow others to dictate that for you.
Mm. Well, Doreen, thank you for being with us on Focus on the Family. You're working with these programs yes. on a daily basis, but it's great to have you behind the mic and just sharing your story. I think it can encourage so many people. Thank you.
Thanks, Doreen. Thank you for being so vulnerable and for sharing your story. I know that it has encouraged many, many women out there. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Graham and Alison.
I think there are so many women who can identify with Doreen's story. Our upbringing shapes our thinking. And of course, culture plays into our belief systems as well. So it's so good to hear how being surrounded by biblical truths can gently nudge you in the right direction. I hope you felt inspired by Doreen's testimony of God being bigger than her past and able to redeem and enrich her life beyond her wildest dreams. Our recommended resource today is called Your Marriage, God's Mission, Discovering Your Spiritual Purpose Together. Authors Clint and Penny Bragg believe that just as every individual has a calling from God, every marriage has a specific mission. In this book, they demonstrate how to discover that mission by discovering more of Him. You can get a copy when you call us on 031-716-3300 or find it on our website at safamily.co.za. And while you're on the website, also look out for our free online marriage assessment, which gives you and your spouse a good overview of what's working well in your relationship and maybe some suggestions for improvement as well. Our website again is safamily.co.za. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.